Welcome to Soul Via Soul, the podcast where we embark on a journey of self-love and true wellness. I'm your host, Jada, and I'm absolutely delighted to have you here with me as we dive into all things mind, body, and soul. Now, what do you say we get this thing started? Let's dive in. Welcome back to Soul Via Soul. So this week in the diary of Jada and season two of Soul Via Soul, and really the season two of my life as we enter the second phase of my life, which sounds a little morbid, I guess, but we've been talking a lot about death and rebirth and the sense of dying and really what it is to live. What is it to fully live? Now, in my professional life and in Soul Via Soul, I embody wellness, right? That's my jam. I don't do things without doing them myself. I don't tell you to meditate without doing it. I don't tell you to move your body without doing it myself. And not that I'm suggesting you pack up everything you own and sell it and move to another country. However, all of this process made us pause and made us actually ask the question, how are we living our life? Are we living our life? Are we fully alive? Do we feel fully alive? And it's interesting because what we realized is that we didn't feel that. Now, I've always been a person who loved adventures, number one. And I've also been that person who has walked off the cliff many times in my life. I packed up everything I owned and drove a truck to Minnesota when I met my first husband, and I left everything behind and started a new life there. I also packed everything I had and moved to Wisconsin and started school, moving away from my then fiance to pursue my dreams. And we lived the first 2 years of our marriage in separate states. I also, at some point, walked into the line to sign up for my first marathon, not having any real idea of what that meant. And then starting the journey of rediscovering my passion of running, which I did in college. And then I signed up for an Ironman and I did the really scary thing and the years of preparation it takes to do a race like that. And then I did two more after that. Doing scary things is part of how I live my life. Walking out of my marriage with four kids after being a stay-at-home mom for 15 years and no career to go to, pretty terrifying. Leaving a job where I was making a good salary and felt really content, but it started to feel suffocating and like I didn't have the ability to be authentic and to true to myself. Walked away, started my own company, had no idea what that was going to even be like. And I did that while my kids were in college, doing scary things and jumping off the diving board, not quite sure if there's enough water to support me landing, is how I've lived most of my life. So maybe this shouldn't scare me so much, but it does. So when this idea dropped in that maybe we really needed to figure out what this next phase of our life was going to look like, it meant that we were going to have to learn how to let go of everything. Now, it's interesting because we wanted to let go of things, but what we really want is to create more time, energy in our lives for our people and the relationships in our lives. Our kids are starting to figure out where they're going to live, and they don't know where that's going to be yet. We may want to be able to travel to wherever our children are, to spend a couple of weeks with them at their various homes, wherever they are. That sounds pretty awesome to us. Being able, when we have grandkids, to travel and spend quality time with those grandkids, Sounds pretty amazing. But in order for us to have that freedom and that flexibility and that nimbleness, it also means that we got to let go of the things that are holding us hostage. And interestingly enough, in our culture and in our society, we tend to gather things. We tend to accumulate things. We tend to have big houses where we store things. We have stuff. We have nice stuff. And then we, you know, get rid of, I remember my first apartment in college, and it was like, okay, you got whatever Goodwill couch there was, or whatever couch was on the side of the road. Dumpster diving was like a great hobby of mine. And as you go through life, like, you get nicer stuff, right? You get rid of the Goodwill furniture, and maybe you get your first like nice couch or whatever. We accumulate things, and yet we can't take it with us. And what we realized was our stuff and this beautiful home that we had created was now actually feeling suffocating. And we were indebted to serving this house. We had to mow the lawn. We had to tend to the weeds. We had to maintain and upkeep. And it was just, it felt heavy. It felt heavy. And all of a sudden, there was this tiny slice of time that my husband and I thought, there's this little sliver of time where we don't have grandkids yet. Our children are starting their lives. They don't know where they're going to be yet. What if we took this time and we traveled and we explored the world and we lived without the cares of things? Now, that's a scary thought. It's a terrifying thought. And we looked at ourselves and said, that's crazy. We can't do it. And then it kept gnawing at us. But what if? Well, but we can't do that. I mean, we can't do that. But what if? And then we saw this, I think it was a YouTube video, and it was on something called the Swedish Death Cleanse. And first of all, that's just like that title, like, stops you in your tracks. But then we watched this video, and it was about how older adults, and it's funny because it said older and it was said between 45 and like 60. And I don't consider myself an older adult, but I guess I really am. And it talked about that you start decluttering, you start getting rid of all these things that you've had a lifetime accumulating so that your kids don't have to do this when you die. Now, having both of my parents passed away and having to go through their belongings, it's burdensome, and it's just heart-wrenching because you can't really grieve when you're trying to figure out what to do with the sweatshirt or the pair of shoes or the stuff, the pictures, the trinket that, you know, someone bought 40 years ago. And what do you do with it without having this ginormous feeling of guilt that you're dishonoring them in some way because you donate it to Goodwill? So there's this process where you actually take a look at all your stuff and you start asking, do I need this? And you start getting rid of it. You start giving things to your children that they maybe could use now. So it's kind of cool that as our children are setting up their own apartments, we are now able to say, take our couch, take our chairs, take our lamps, take our pictures. We don't need them. We don't want them because we're going to get rid of everything. We're going to give it to the people who can use it, and we're going to go on this little adventure. So the Swedish Death Cleanse is now in process, and I can tell you that it is not easy. I can tell you that going through my stuff and getting rid of and donating and stripping things down to the bare minimum is hard. I've cried every day. And it's interesting because, like, why am I attached to a thing? But we are. We have so much attachment to our stuff. But what does it really mean? And how does it really serve us? How is it honoring our lives? And how are we honoring our lives if we're just the keeper of things? So we started this paring down process. We started looking around and saying, how can we start giving our children what is theirs to now take? And what is in our life that we really, number one, don't want? And number two, we're going to have to sell it. So how do we detach meaning from this beautiful new fancy couch? Nicest couch I've ever owned. Now I'm just going to say, someone take it. There's been a lot of mixed emotions with the Swedish death cleanse. But it is interesting because in talking with my children, there's been mixed emotions. Most are like, this is awesome. Go for it. This is great. There's only been a few family members who were like, what are you doing? This does not work. And it's interesting because we see this very much as a way to increase our connection with our family by not having things and stuff prevent us from traveling and spending more time with them. And yet there's this process that still has to take place. We still have to sell the house and we still have to get rid of everything we own. So the Swedish death cleanse is giving us a chance to do this. And as we go through and let go, there are tears. It feels like a death. It feels like a divorce. It feels like I am dying in the process of releasing myself from hanging on energetically to all my stuff. And it's funny because we think stuff like makes us happy, right? Like it, especially in America, like it's status symbol. The bigger the house, the more successful you are. You got the big car. Now one car garage is not enough. Now you need two. Now two is so last year. Now you need three. And it's just, we keep getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And we keep filling it up with more and more stuff. And what we came to realize is that the more stuff we had, the more responsibility we had to maintain our stuff. Number one, it's expensive. And number two, it felt like we were trapped. Like we literally couldn't go and explore the world unless we did something drastic. So the Swedish death cleanse is now in process. And I can tell you that I have cleared probably 20 bags of things that I've donated. We're currently in the process of giving things to our children and giving things to our friends. All my plants, sadly, have to find new homes. But it's really making me come face to face with what is my connection with things and really forcing me to move into what is really more important in life. And that is my health, the health of my relationships, the strength of my relationships, the ability to love myself by eating quality food, being connected to nature, being able to really step out of the hustle culture of acquiring more things and slimming down to the essentials of life. Really going back to what it is that brings me joy and filling my day with simple pleasures, enjoying a coffee, having a nice lunch, being able to go for a walk. And then maybe go visit a child, have a child come and visit and not have the distractions of all my things and really just be focused on the person. So the Swedish death cleanse is not for the faint of heart. And it has allowed us to start to ask the really important question, what in my life brings me joy? So that's what I would have you ask you. Look around, like what in your life brings you joy? And if it's not bringing you joy, and if it feels like it's holding you back in some way, then maybe it's time to bring in the Swedish death cleanse and at least maybe pare down some things. You don't have to get rid of everything like I'm doing. But what would it mean to energetically let go of some of the things that might be holding you prisoner in your own life? So stay tuned for next week as we dive more into what is it like to actually transition and think about moving across the pond.